All right. Hello, hello, hello. Again, welcome to the Utopia-ish podcast. I'm Allie Jessing. And if this is your first time listening, you might decide to go and listen to the intro episode where I introduce myself and this show. I'm still a little bit nervous because this is only my second time recording a podcast episode, but I'm slowly 1% bettering this podcast. So hopefully this will be even better than the last time. Today, what I want to do is I want to talk to you guys about Aspasia Media. That's my startup, and it's going to be coming up probably a lot in this podcast. So I want to give you guys some background on what that is so that you know what I'm talking about when I talk about it. And I've been wanting to share the idea of this startup with people. I've been working on this for about a year and a half, and I haven't really been publicizing it much because I've been trying to figure out a way to do it that feels authentic to me. And that journey has led me to the place of creating this podcast. So while this podcast is not about my startup, it's very much, as I mentioned in the last podcast, integrated with my startup. Today I want to explain to you what that is. So I'm going to jump right in. Aspasia Media is a multimedia streaming platform for independent art. So it's similar to Netflix. Like imagine if Netflix and Patreon, if you're familiar with Patreon, imagine they had a baby. So it's a streaming platform with a subscription model like Netflix or any other streaming platform. But instead of big major films and television shows, it's independent art in all different mediums from only independent and early career artists. So you would be able to log on and be able to see plays, poetry, music, film, television, all different kinds of things, live performances, cabaret, experimental art, anything you can imagine. I get really excited thinking about this. So I'm going to try not to get too ahead of myself. But that is, you know, the elevator pitch, basically. So I'd like to explain why I started this project. And I think that as I'm explaining why I started it, I'll be able to address some additional features of the platform. Man, I'm so much more nervous talking about this than I was in the last episode of this podcast. I think because I'm just so passionate about this project, and there's like a sort of small feeling in the background of like pressure to get it across well. So that's, you know, my reality right now. And I'm just doing my best in this space, in this podcast, to be as honest as possible with you guys about where I'm coming from, especially as I'm developing this platform and this space for me to communicate with you. So I started Aspasia Media. Basically what happened was I was in a place in life where I was really struggling to figure out like, how am I going to make a living that's aligned with my identity as an artist and also with my values around being engaged in a capitalist global society. So I was really struggling because a lot of artists are coaches for other artists, and like no shade, like this is a very legitimate way of serving artists and making a living as an artist. But society sort of expects us to, like, we charge other artists a lot of money to train. And as you probably know, artists in our society right now really struggle to make a living from their art alone. So, you know, we have to pay for all our own training. We have to then create our art, which is often a full-time job in and of itself. And then on top of that, we have to work for money. And there are people who do make a living from their art. And in order to do that, they have to be marketing professionals. They have to put in a lot of work in things that are not their passion. And there really aren't many other career paths like this. There are some like trade paths, but I was just sitting there fantasizing about what if there was a a way for there to be an entry-level position for artists where you could, you know, reliably go and put in job applications and get hired to cut your teeth in your craft, to like learn your field and get paid a living wage to do it, you know, to like a reliable income, to just do the thing that you want to do, that you... I think my computer's unplugged. No, it's not. So maybe I'll cut that bit out. So where you can just do the thing that you want to do and you can make a living wage at it in the early stages of your career and you can move up the ladder. And I was thinking about that and all of a sudden I came up with the idea of this platform. And the more I thought about it, the more excited I got because it also solves like a lot of other issues that I see. For instance, right now, there's probably a whole episode that I could dedicate to this topic. And I imagine there being a certain degree of pushback. And I've had the reason I imagine that is that I've had some very interesting conversations with friends of mine around this. But we're currently living in a society that rewards art that is as entertaining as possible, as popular as possible. And it's very difficult to make a living as an artist who's really experimenting in a way that's not very easily accessible. And I think that's kind of a tragedy. You know, it isn't objectively the case that art that's more popular is better, right? Like we're not even really living in a society where we are encouraged and we're encouraging each other to interact with art in a more nuanced and elevated way. And so naturally the intersection between capitalism and art creates a situation in which the vast majority of films being made are Marvel films. And I read an interesting book, which I will remember the name of and link at some point in below, in which the author was describing how films became progressively less and less experimental because of the financial needs of the industry and the fact that, you know, people don't want to see... they don't want to take a gamble on something they're not familiar with anymore. And so if it's a franchise, they'll continue to go and buy tickets to see that film. But if it's something and someone they've never heard of, then it's much harder to sell that. And that's kind of a problem, you know. So I saw these different kinds of things and I decided to create a solution. So that solution is the project that I already described. Some additional details I think are really exciting about that are, you know, the platform will be an egalitarian pay structure. So everyone who's creating on the platform gets paid the same. It's not a popularity contest. It doesn't matter how popular your work is. The algorithms, unless you specifically choose as a subscriber, like in your profile, to search the most popular items, the algorithms are not based on popularity. There will be high searchability and discoverability for the audience. So you can search terms that are really important to you, like, you know, whatever kind of community identifiers you're looking for or sort of creative identifiers you're looking for. You can kind of type those keywords in and the artists will list that on their work and you can kind of find those. And I also want to have, since we are doing egalitarian pay structure and we're not focusing on just entertaining art, which will also be on the platform, I want to have moderated comments sections where subscribers can communicate directly with other subscribers and also with the artists themselves and with other artists to ask questions about a piece of work. So if you're looking at something that's particularly avant-garde that you don't understand, you can ask questions, and they'll be moderated because, you know, it's not a social media platform. It's not YouTube. It's not Instagram. So, you know, helpful discussions only of seeking to better understand the arts and art in general and interface with artists so that people who don't really understand art or don't feel confident in their ability to interpret art can ask questions in a safe space there. So I'm really excited about that. And so I envision it as basically the artists will have an application process similar to any other kind of job, And that will be assessed by like a fairly diverse panel of people in the arts industry who can look at it and just go, okay, this person has something to say. They're doing something meaningful. They're serious. And once you are accepted onto the platform, I think it will probably be an understanding that you have with us of like how frequently you will release work in exchange for a living wage. I'm also considering like a la carte, if you just want to get paid for one particular piece or one piece at a time, as opposed to like a reliable living wage or a reliable part-time wage. Like, I think there's going to be a multi-tiered structure of how you can engage on the platform. Also, like, I am an artist. So we are a public benefit corporation. We are incorporated already. And so there are a lot of things in place. Like, people often ask me, well, what's stopping other people from stealing this idea and making it? And I think the primary answer for me is, and, you know, I could go into the nitty-gritty of startup philosophy, and there are certain kinds of things that you can have as a startup founder that position you uniquely to be able to take on a certain project. And I happen to have a lot of those things, including like expertise in the area. But being an artist and being a public benefit corporation and not having a bottom line, being a public benefit corporation effectively allows me to legally prioritize things that are not just profit and benefit to shareholders if we end up taking on shareholders, which is something I'd actually like to avoid doing if possible, but we'll see. If there are the right people who are interested in investing, we might do that. And I'll explain that in a little bit later when I'm talking about the trajectory of what this startup is going to be. But we will, you know, one of the things I want to do is have a non-exclusivity agreement with the artist. Like, it's not that our platform is the only place you're allowed to post your work. And that doesn't matter, because at the moment, there really is no centralized marketplace for independent art. Like, if you want to be up on independent art, there's any number of different places that you have to be familiar with for the different mediums, etc. And there's really no one place you can go and just discover artists and really support them. I mean, there's Patreon, and I don't want to say too much about that in this space, but, you know, one of the big differences between us and Patreon, and I had a great conversation with a friend of mine about this when I very first started talking about this idea with friends, is that if you want to support an artist on Patreon, you have to pay a specific amount to one, each individual artist that you want to support. And so, you know, that's a little bit more of a barrier to entry for people. And so fewer people are willing to go through that process of finding people they want to support and giving $5 here and $5 there every month, as opposed to what we're used to, like Netflix, where you just pay $8 a month and you support, you know, thousands of artists and have access to a huge platform and are able to discover thousands of artists from all over the world in all different mediums. So, where was I? Artists put in an application, we assess them, we decide, you know, what is their release, like how often do they release work to us based on what their form of art is and, you know, how much we're paying them. And that's not an exclusivity agreement. So then you have the thing that I've basically set up where people can subscribe, they can look at all the different art, et cetera, but we'll also have an online store, so you can buy art directly from artists, and we would take a cut of that. And I really want to get into things like helping artists mint NFTs and helping, like, having the developers of the platform working with artists on new ways to create experiences in the digital space. I also don't only want to be creating art to be consumed digitally. I would love to be helping theater companies produce live theater performances that they can perform in public, and then just videotape one or two performances and put them on the platform. I'd love for the artists on the platform to collaborate with each other. So, you know, filmmakers on the platform can make little documentaries about the creative processes of some of the other artists, and there will be a lot of collaboration fostered, and we'll also eventually have our own in-house production company where we will produce our own independent films with the artists that are an independent art of all mediums, really, it, with the artists that are on our platform. So it's this little microcosm of independent art that really is sort of a catch-all for all of the needs of artists. I'm so excited about it. So yes, I'm trying to think if there's anything else I haven't explained about what the platform is. You turn an application, there's comment sections. You can see, like, I imagine every artist have their own kind of profile, and then you can see everything they've made. And you can also look at art by category and all different kinds of ways of discovering art there. We sell the work. Ah, this was the thing that I wanted, that I was kind of building up to, which is that similar to the way that, you know, old school, that film festivals used to function before they became, it's so funny. I find myself like, actually, I'd like to call out that, like, I'm hesitating to speak to some of the more negative aspects of our industry right now. Man, I gotta shed that like little bit of, oh, like, don't want to make people in my industry mad. So, you know, I may be wrong in this. I can't guarantee that my understanding of this is complete, but as far as I have come to understand it, you know, the 90s era of independent film festivals is kind of dead. And it's very difficult as a true independent filmmaker to, you know, bring a film to Sundance and get distribution. I've heard from being in the industry that the vast majority of films that go to major film festivals are already in distribution before they even get there. And a lot of them honestly are like play areas for A-list filmmakers to make films for like $5 million instead of $100 million. And so it really isn't a space for truly early career artists to enter into and have a competitive way of distributing their work. And so the cool thing about us is that, you know, you can make stuff. It doesn't have to be polished. You just have to be, you know, early on in your career or independent and doing something meaningful and with artistic integrity. And then, you know, if your like film gets discovered by Netflix or something on our platform and Netflix wants to buy it, then they can. And, you know, we'll take a cut. But then you move up, you know, you graduate to, you're not an independent filmmaker anymore, and you're not on our platform anymore because we're only for independent artists. I think what's so hard about talking about this in this space is I've never talked at length about this, like just in monologue form. I'm usually like answering questions that other people are asking me. And so I'm really being guided right now by the myriad conversations I've had about this over the last you know, year and a half that I've been working on this, and it feels weird to be kind of like trying to preempt what you might be wondering. So if you do have questions, feel free to ask them. I get a lot of pushback on this all the time. People love to, you know, they love to dig in and try to find the hole in people's startup ideas. And I love that. I've been fielding that for a year and a half, and it's a great space for me to work in. And it's kind of the space I'm artificially creating for myself in my mind as I'm talking to you about this, as I'm speaking about this in this space. So yeah, you know, this is like, it's just, it's an entry-level position for independent artists, and you don't have to become famous from it. You can choose to engage with it however you want. And it's something that I really, it's a passion project for me. When I thought of this idea, I wasn't like thinking to myself, oh, I'd really like to have a startup. Like, what can I make? You know, I was just thinking about the things that really frustrate me about my industry. And then all of a sudden I had this idea. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, oh shit, like this actually could really help a lot of people and really change things. And so then I came to this realization one day that was just like, if I can pull this off and this is the legacy that I leave, like I will be happy with what I've done, because the industry needs to be disrupted. You know, the position of artists in our society needs to change. And I do really see this as a way to disrupt like the business model that we're working from for independent artists, because we just force independent artists to be so completely responsible for their own survival. And it's absurd. You know, an entry-level accountant doesn't like need a successful marketing degree practically, like in order to be an accountant. Like, you just go get a job. So I really wanted to create, my vision is that artist will be a career that people can reliably pursue, that, you know, children can grow up and say, I want to be an artist, and their parents can go, great, cool, then go to college for art and go get a, you know, entry level position and become an artist. And that will be, it won't be this absurd struggle. Like, we need art. I mean, this argument has been made so many times, but we need art. Art is valuable. So why is it so hard to like make a living as an artist? And why is the, and this is a conversation for another time, but why is the success metric for artists just so unbelievably narrow? It's truly absurd. And it isn't the case that there's so little room for art, right? Like, the amount of art that we as the audience members get to receive and have marketed toward us and made available to us is so narrow. And there's so much more that we could be experiencing. And I really want to encourage a culture of people who are much more engaged in a much more diverse array of ways of expressing ourselves artistically and creatively. So that's the space I'm hoping to create with Aspasia Media. I was going to talk about who Aspasia was. Do I want to do that in this episode? I feel like I've been talking for a while, but maybe I'm just nervous. I don't really have like a ton more. I would love to speak to the trajectory that I see this startup going on. And so I think I will just take a deep breath, maybe have a sip of water, and then speak to you about the namesake of this company. So Aspasia, there's a number of different ways you can pronounce this. Do whatever you want, you know. She was an ancient Greek woman from the city of Miletus who was a immigrant to Athens. And she became the lover of the statesman Pericles. And actually, I think I will do another episode where I really deep dive her history, because there are some things I think I understand about her right now, but I would really like to investigate more deeply so that I'm not expressing any false information about her in this space. So I will do another episode where we do a deep dive into her history, because she's a really interesting person. But what I'll say right now is that she was a very unique female figure in Athenian history. Women at the time were not considered citizens. They were not allowed to own property. They were not allowed to pay taxes. They were not citizens. They were effectively pets. A lot of times they weren't allowed to leave the house. I mean, it was, yeah, patriarchy. But Aspasia was different. She was a citizen. She paid taxes. She was not married to Pericles. They did have children together. I believe they had two children together. But what I love most about her is she's known for having been extremely intellectually influential in Athens at her time. Multiple wars were blamed on her because she really had Pericles's ear. And so a lot of the other statesmen at the time would say that, you know, she had convinced Pericles to do this war. And there's a lot of like myth around her position as like potentially sort of a prostitute. Oh, my cat is meowing at the door quite loudly. Hopefully that stops. During the longer episode that I do on this topic, I will discuss the concept of a hetera, which is like kind of like an ancient Athenian courtesan. Again, like we don't really have a full understanding of the nature of these positions in society. And I want to really do a deep dive before I come and bring too much to this space around that topic. But I did write a show called Hetera about aspasia that I brought to Edinburgh Fringe Festival in 2019 that I mentioned briefly in the last episode of this podcast. So as you can probably tell, I'm quite passionate about her. I think it's fascinating that she was this kind of sensual female figure who was just known for being extremely bright and intelligent and influential in the society. And it is said that Socrates and other famous philosophers and famous mathematicians would frequent her home, where she would host these salons, and that Socrates was potentially like very influenced by her ideas. So there's a lot of kind of myth around her. She's one of those living people that, because she was a woman, is sort of like underrepresented in the history books. And also, to be fair, ancient Greek history is one of those things where, like, when you read it, you just take it with a big pinch of salt. But yeah, I find her very inspirational, you know, someone who was very witty and sensual and artistic and creative and thoughtful and philosophical and influential in her time. So that is who my company is named after. And like I mentioned in the last episode of this, the concept of a salon really inspires me. And I view this space as one of those places where we can be talking about art, talking about philosophy, and expressing ourselves in this really kind of fulfilling, slightly romantic, but very meaningful and effective way about how to make the world a better place, frankly. So that's everything I think that I want to say about aspasia media, my company, and also aspasia, the woman. So the trajectory for this, where we are right now, where I am right now in the process, it's been a long year and a half of adjusting my brain to like, what is it to be a startup founder? You know, because I am an artist. And I've been looking at this problem of beginning this company from a lot of different angles. And I now have found the support that I need and kind of the direction and the trajectory that I want to go on. This podcast is a big part of that. It's also a part of just me fulfilling what feels right for me, my destiny and my purpose in life, to explore these philosophical ideas, to contribute to the betterment of human society. But this is also a place to, you know, spread the word about this startup as well. You know, I think the audiences of both of these works that I'm contributing to society have a lot of overlap. So right now I am community building. I am basically going to be talking about this startup a lot and spreading the word. So if you think this is a cool idea, then please, you know, tell your friends about it. Help me spread the word, follow us on social media. I'll put all that info at the end. You know, ask me questions, tell me what you would want to see as a part of this platform as an artist or as an audience member, as a subscriber, et cetera. Like just, you know, just get with me on this, like help me out. Let's move towards this together. That's what I really need right now, is just a bunch of people going, yeah, we want this. And then from there, my plan is to do a crowdfunding round, and with the money from the crowdfunding round to do the first early development. And so that will probably be like, you know, people who will get lifetime subscriptions to the platform for being like early adopters, who are contributing to the first round of development to create the MVP, which is like startup lingo for minimum viable product, kind of the first version of this. And once we make that, then I will be able to start taking on subscribers. And ideally, I can bootstrap the funding of this project by taking on subscribers and only hiring as many artists as I can afford to pay. Or a lot of artists have offered to volunteer their media for the first stages of this platform. You know, most of us are not getting paid for it anyway. So if I can collect enough art, and artists to have a platform that's really enjoyable for subscribers, then I can build a subscribership much more quickly and eventually pay the artists with that. So that's my aim. If necessary, I'll take I will take investors, but I'm not sure it's going to be necessary. So that's what I am working on. That's what Aspasia Media is. When I mentioned it on this podcast, now you know. And if you want to help me, if you're curious, if you're interested, please reach out or just give a follow. You can go to the website, www.aspasia.media, and you can join the mailing list there. I'm currently in the process of revamping the website, so it's a little bit less cool and professional than I would like it to be. But startups are a journey. Podcasts are a journey. Everything is a journey. And thank you for being present for the imperfect early stages of this journey for both of my projects. I really appreciate it. As soon as I get to this phase in the podcast recording, I'm always like, oh my God, I can't believe I just did that. You know, it's hard not to be nervous and just be off the cuff about it, especially with something like this that just feels so like intense for me, to talk about. But, yeah, thank you for being here. So you can follow me. I'm basically posting exclusively on Aspasia Media social media. So Twitter, I'm not super active on. Instagram, I'm more active on. TikTok, I'm really starting to get more. I'm working on getting more active on. And that's at Aspasia Media on all platforms. The website I mentioned already. So please reach out. Please give a follow. Let me see if there's anything else I forgot to say. Please share this podcast. This podcast is a great way to, maybe I'll be an advertiser on my own podcast. Won't that be funny if I just like the ads are just me talking about my startup? I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, please tell people about this project. Please tell people about the podcast. Share us on social media. Share us in your stories. Whatever you can do to get the word out. That's really like what we're doing right now. Upcoming episodes of this podcast I'm excited about include my friend Anna is going to come on, and she is a student. She's just graduated or is graduating from Columbia University in philosophy. She's really passionate about philosophy of mathematics. So she and I are going to have a conversation about the nature of reality, which I'm super excited about. And it was actually a conversation with her and our friend Evan, who also studied philosophy at Columbia, that inspired me to start this podcast, that just made me go, man, I'm having really, really great conversations that I really want to share with people. Maybe I should do a podcast. Also, I love to talk, as you can probably tell. So Nature of Reality with Anna, that's going to be cool. And then I will do an episode soon on what my vision about of like my kind of utopia-ish theory is right now, like what I think so far in my philosophical journey about what we should be working towards, what are the circumstances that are allowing us to move towards a utopia-ish society. I spoke about this a little bit in the in the intro episode, but I will go in depth to explain like what the fuck is a utopian-ish society, Allie? Like, what are we even talking about here? And I think that will contextualize a lot of the upcoming episodes, you know, because not every episode I make here is going to be directly like, how do we build a utopia? Some of it is just going to be like about minimalism or other kinds of values that I think are aligned with the concept of utopian philosophy and making the world a better place. But yeah, so that's some upcoming episodes you can look forward to. And I'm really excited to edit this podcast and get it out to you. If you can hear beeping, that is my laundry that just finished in the dryer because I am recording this in my bedroom in Greenpoint. And I am also going to do a video blog soon of my my minimalist furniture free bedroom / office space / recording studio. So that'll be really cool. And yeah, I have a few other exciting projects up my sleeve that I'm really excited to share with you. So thank you once again for listening to this podcast to the end. You are a champion. You are my heart of hearts, my moon and stars, whatever. Thank you for being here, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye. Thank you.